I'm Dan Abnett, and you're listening to Sean Hammer.
Seven of Sean Hammer. As you can tell, this is the Dan Abnett salvaged interview. I actually did it twice, and he was very nice to actually do it twice with me. So I got two times to talk to Dan and ask a couple revised questions. And 100%, the interview did not record as well as I would like it. I got a good chunk, but I'm going to go ahead and go over some of the questions you guys sent me and give you his responses, and the ones that I don't give you the responses, he will. So that's coming up near the end of the show, and let's go ahead and talk about the past weeks in Warhammer. For myself, I've been really kicking out a kill team for the Killzone team for the Killzones. That was on posted, I believe, on last episode, and I'm working on Blood Angels and going with that. Speaking of Blood Angels, I'm working on my Space Hawk box, and it's going really nice. My wife's actually helping me paint the Gene Stealers in there. I'm painting the Blood Angels, and we're trying to make that look really nice. And I think maybe I'm going to order the Space Hawk box from Battle Foam. I do not know yet, but we'll check it out. I also picked up Fantasy Flight's Angels of Death, I think it is. Death Angel, the card game. This is a Space Hawk card game for 1 to 6 players, and the reason why I picked it up is not all the time do you actually have somebody to play with, and I'm big into playing solitaire on my iPod, and well, you know what? What's better than solitaire? And be playing some Space Marines by yourselves, I guess. Well, anyway, that's that, and going through the box, it looks pretty interesting. Haven't made it to the rules yet. On break tonight, I might actually finish up the rules and play a game of by myself. But the box is pretty cool. This thing runs about $25 American. Comes with one dice, two decks of cards. I haven't opened them up yet. Some tokens, and it looks like it promises to be some good fun. I've had some great experience with card games in the past outside of Magic, because that's just a money hungry horror company. And that will be about all I'm going to say for that. Let's see. Blood Angels. Painting Blood Angels. And they're coming out really nice. I'm working on my Killzone team, Blood Angels. I'm not actually using any Blood Red. I'm doing it all with a whole bunch of washes. And I don't know if it's called dipping, but it's just over washing inks on top of the model itself using Skull White, and it's coming out pretty decent looking, not too bad at all. The Skull White's coming through as the actual highlight. So in the end, if I do give it a quick dry brush of I think I'm going to use a Vermin Orange and Vomit Brown mixed. I don't know if it's going to be Vomit Brown and Vermin Brown and Blazing Orange. Anyway, that should pump it out pretty good. I need to get some Blood Angel transfers, so if anybody's out there and you got a small, little allotment of Blood Angel transfers, go ahead and get a hold of me at Sean Hammer, and I'll gladly take those off you, and maybe reimburse you somehow with, I don't know, a trade or something if you'd like. Let's see, I've been playing a lot of Blood Bowl on the PSP. I've started listening to a podcast that a fellow listener that's been on the show before, AJ, who turned me towards this podcast, and it's working out pretty good. It's helped me with the video game. It's got me excited about playing the actual Blood Bowl game, and AJ and I are working on doing a Blood Bowl episode as well. I'm going to put a link to the show that he turned me on to, and it would be the three die block Blood Bowl podcast. I'll put their website on there so you can check it out if you want. And look forward to some Blood Bowl coming out in the future. And and some nuns, nun teams. Now, as you'll notice from the show title, it's labeled Salvage Dan Abnett Interview. We got that. And I'm a defecting Xenos whore. Oh my god. I got an email today sent by Games Workshop of the coming up Dark Eldar models. And I play Dark Elf in Fantasy. And I play Imperial Guard in 40K. And I guess a lot of people are getting sick of seeing the Imperial Guard and stuff. And I like evil things. And oh my, do these new Dark Eldar look evil and beautiful at the same time. I'm going to put a few pictures linked to the show. So if you don't normally check out the site, you want to see the new Dark Eldar models coming out, they're pretty fantastic. I wasn't sure if I was even... I don't even care what the rules are. The Lilith model, that is the one. The female model that you see, she's the one that's going to make me play Dark Eldar. And that's simple as that. I'm going to play them. I don't know if I'm just going to play them in kill teams or kill zones, or if I'm going to play them in full-out 40K or combat patrol. But they will be mine. I'm confused about the witches, at least the picture they have on there. It's a little BDSM for, the appearance. But that doesn't mean it's a bad thing either. So let's see. That's about it for news. My little defecting over to the Xenos. Still pumping out my... My Space Wolves and my Blood Angels. I might be selling my Imperial Guard. It's a Steel Legion army painted up like the Death Troopers of Krieg. We got a full allotment of tanks. We got a Bane Blade in the box, a Vendetta or a Valkyrie in the box. I don't know. I shouldn't hoard this out as a commercial, and I'll probably regret selling them in the future, but they're really cool, and I'll link pictures so everyone can see some of my Death Troopers. Whether you want to buy them or not, they're pretty cool to look at. They look like... They're Nazis. I can't put them any other way, but they're Nazis. And let's see. Killzone, also going to use my Gaunt's Ghosts. And for... Let's see. I played some Star Wars. Web of Spider-Man. That's about it for gaming news for myself. A lot of Blood Bowl video game. A lot of Blood Bowl talk. A lot of Blood Bowl ordering. And that is about it. If you get a chance... Search for the new Dark Eldar model range, see what we can find. I know they're going to come out on Games Day UK, so hopefully after that we'll get more pictures, and I think they're slated for release in either October or November. And if the rumors are correct, Grey Knights are coming out after that, and unfortunately, I have a Grey Knight contingent as well. I mean, this is story of the ADD gamer. I play everything. I can't make up my mind, and I can't finish anything. So, outside of that, anyone who... Well, personal news. Anyone who knows a good, cheap lawyer that can help me out in family matters, have them contact me at SeanHammer9@yahoo.com. I also have Graham McNeil, Black Library author. He'll be on the show pretty soon, within the next week or so. And I need, just like before, I need questions to ask Graham McNeil, just like the ones you sent to me for Dan Abnett. You can go ahead and send those at SeanHammer9@yahoo.com. You can link to it on the show. Yeah, please send them in. I mean, he's very accommodating. I think he's going to be a great interview as well. And I got plans, so this one will not fail as badly. And we'll have Graham McNeil on there, and he is the author of... Prospero Burns, right? Well, Thousand Sons. I'm a jackass. Dan Abnett does Prospero Burns. I'm just looking at my show notes and just saw Prospero Burns. Thinking Dan Abnett. But anyway. So we're going to get me some questions for him. We'll have him on the show pretty soon. And right after the break, we'll have a Dan Abnett interview. And it's brought to you by Cool City Games.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners. Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
Well, everybody, as promised, here's my interview with Dan Abnett. Unfortunately, this is the second time, but fortunately enough, I get to speak to him again. How are you today, Dan?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm even better than I was last time we spoke.
Good. And this isn't some weird way just so I get to talk to you again. I promise.
Of course not.
Okay. Well, I got some questions for you, and we'll go through them. And
yeah, fire away.
All right. First one is, I got a question. Is someone want to know, how long have you been writing for Black Library?
I've been writing since Black Library began, which is, I guess, in about 1996. From about then onwards, I was already a freelance writer, and they approached me and asked if I would first of all write comics for them. They wanted to do comics based on Warhammer and Warhammer 40K. I said yes. They'd seen some of my work, fitted well together, and then I went on to write short stories and eventually novels for them as their sort of remit expanded. So yeah, about almost 15 years now.
Okay. What did you what kind of work were you involved in before? Oh, you were writing for Black Library.
Well, when I'm not writing novels and stuff for Black Library, I'm right, generally as a freelance writer, a lot of comic book work for Marvel, for DC, for places like that, for 2000 AD. So that's what I was doing already. I already got sort of quite a body of work going there, and it was my work on things like Conan for Marvel that first got Games Workshop's attention.
Okay. Do you have any new projects on the horizon for either the 40K or Fantasy Universe for Black Library?
Yes, I've always got a fairly steady flow of things ready to work on. They keep me pretty busy, pretty booked up. As far as 40K is my main area of operation, and my next Horus Heresy book, Prospero Burns, comes out. I think it's January 1st. Very much looking forward to that one. It's been a long time in the gestation for a variety of reasons. That's the story of the Space Wolves attack on Prospero, on the Thousand Suns, from the Space Wolves' point of view. It's the other side of the story from Graham McNeil's fantastic Thousand Suns novel. We sort of wrote them in tandem. Almost exactly a year ago, I fell ill. I suddenly developed epilepsy very late in life, in terms of there not being any sign of it before.
Okay.
Dealt with it. I'm now on medication. Everything's fine. In fact, in many respects, it was a good thing that happened to me. But the immediate effect was there was a sort of 2 or 3 month window where my work rate dropped off a great deal. They didn't know what was wrong with me. I was undergoing tests, all that kind of stuff. And as a result, Prospero Burns, which was meant to come out the same time as Thousand Suns, we were meant to write them side by side. Work on that inevitably slowed down a bit. Even so, Graham and I did do with those two books what we'd done to a lesser extent on the first couple of Horus Heresy books, and really bounce ideas off each other. So although they will be coming out at slightly different rates, we did sort of mirror, reflect things. There's things in his book that I've set up for him, and things that he set up in mine. And without actually contradicting each other, they are also two separate accounts of an event. So there are, you know, people have the Space Wolves have a different opinion about how things work to the way the Thousand Suns. Beyond that, I've got plenty of others. I'm just now working on my new Gaunt book, which is the next in the series, the sequel to Blood Pact. It's called Salvation's Reach. That's for next year. I then have a few other things bubbling under, including potentially some exciting work on returning to the character of Eisenhorn, which with any luck will lead through to next year getting my teeth into the final trilogy of Inquisitor books, which will be called the Bequim trilogy, which is essentially Eisenhorn versus Ravenor. So that's something else to look forward to, and other bits and pieces, all sorts of other fun things.
Good. If I was a betting man, who would you put money on, Eisenhorn or Ravenor?
Well, this is it. Eisenhorn's got the sheer experience, and he's one of those sort of almost unkillable characters who can just keep coming back and getting you again and again, no matter what you do to him. Ravenor is his pupil. That might make him flinch and not take the kill shot if he needed to. However, Ravenor is amazingly powerful. So I think it's going to be one of those ones where it could come right down to it. The last minute could be either way.
No luck getting anything on that, am I?
No, I'm not going to tell you.
I'll edit this part out. It's fine.
Okay. There was a question. Do you play any of the Games Workshop games?
I do. I don't play any of them regularly, although I'd love to. If I played any of them regularly, I'd never get any writing done. But I have made sure I've played every different incarnation of the Games Workshop Warhammer and Warhammer 40k games at different stages, just to really get the feel of them, to understand how they work as a game, and what it feels like to play them, that kind of thing. And that can be very insightful. My local Games Workshop store here in Maidstone has very, very kindly set up sort of demonstration games for me on a regular basis. I just give them a ring, and they one of their sort of club nights, they'll have me in there, and they'll get some of their seasoned players to show me the ropes on a game. And it's as interesting to see what interests the other players as it is to play the game myself. I think that's a very useful, very cool thing, where they you see what interests them, what sort of things they want to get out of the game. Therefore, it sort of influences what I would want to put into a story, because there's all sorts of different ways of enjoying the game, I guess. It turns out I'm particularly good at Battlefleet Gothic. I don't know if that's significant, but that was one thing I seem to have an aptitude for. So clearly, I must have been an admiral in a previous.
It's a fun game.
Yeah.
There's an old game that I totally just loved until I found out that High Elves suck, and it was Man of War, and I really was good at that game. I can't swim for the life of me, so. okay. Next up, we have it's a little bit of a length of a question, but we'll go with it. And
yep.
You've become something of a mentor for the new writer Aaron Dembski Bowden.
It's Bowden. Yeah.
Okay. The question is, he makes it clear that he has benefited from this relationship. What do you get out of this process, and does it make you approach or view your own kind of work differently?
Well, I don't know what he gets out of the process. Aaron's a great guy, and we get on very well, and we have a lot of laughs, really, talking to each other and throwing ideas around and everything like that. Tremendously talented writer. I'm really impressed by what he can do. What I benefit from is his enthusiasm. We talk about ideas in the same way that I benefit from my relationship with the other writers like Jim Swallow and Graham McNeil and Gav Thorpe. You just bounce ideas off each other, and it's a lovely thing to do. And to hear somebody else's take on something, he brings in this particular fresh approach, which I think is great. And he's very, very funny. So it's livened up our Horus Heresy meetings. I have to say he's great fun there. I have really enjoyed what he's done so far. I think we've yet to see exactly how brilliant he can be.
Okay. I haven't read anything by him yet, and I heard not really an interview, but him just announcing another podcast. He sounds like he'd be interesting to talk to.
He absolutely is, and I recommend all of his books wholeheartedly. He's great. He's also got a very, very amusing blog on his website, so I suggest you hunt that down as well.
I actually will. Do you know how the Gonskill series will ultimately end, and how far away do you currently feel we are from the ending of this?
Okay. In very general terms, yes, I do know how it ends, in as much as I know roughly where I would like to be when I finally say that's it. I've got nothing more I can say about it. I sort of know what their last story would be about. However, how far it takes to get there is an equation that's based between... Built basically on various different bits and pieces. One of them is, I've certainly got enough story, I've got the next... three books mapped out, so that's the next arc to completion, and then there's at least two more novels after that of stories that I know in my head is what I want to tell, because I've got loads of loose ends and ideas and stuff that I want to play out. There's lots to come yet. As I work along through that, as has happened before, I may develop new ideas, in which case that will extend the series. I think, well, there is actually room for another novel here where such and such happens or whatever. Basically, what determines the length of the series is how long I can keep going before I think, oh my God, I'm just writing stuff they've seen before. So all the while it's fresh and exciting to me and driven by characters that I'm interested in and I haven't killed off yet, I will keep writing them, basically, as well, all the while there is an audience for them and I don't feel I'm sort of just regurgitating something for the sake of doing it. Like at the moment, I'm very, very excited about what happens in the next few books. The next one I'm writing, it's got some great stuff. I think people will be as entertained by what happens to long-standing characters as what happens to some of the newer characters. And the series also at some point will be extended by at least a book, if not two or three books, because I want to go and write some stories about Ibram Gaunt as a young Commissar cadet. So they're essentially prequels. So there'd be sort of some books up the front before First and Only that set at the start of his career. So there's a good few to come yet.
Okay. When you wrote these, did you already have a plan that you were going to do them in a 3 to 4 book series?
No, not at all. No. Certainly nothing as deliberate as that. When I started writing them, I created characters that I could see running through a number of different adventures. That was as simple as that. It wasn't a finite story. It was a created interesting bunch of characters that I felt quite connected to, that I could quite happily see myself writing different adventures for. As the series progressed, that momentum gathered, and I began to see proper story arcs and plot strands and stuff that I could develop and would want to develop, all of which is good. And that grows and grows and grows. So you know, sort of when you're on book 2 or 3, you can see a little way into the future in terms of what you'd like to do. By the time you get to books 10 or 11, you're really seeing it in terms of great epic scope and characters that you feel responsibilities for in terms of playing out their storyline, or you know, bringing them back or finding some closure or whatever it is. And that's really what engaged me now. So in fact, I can see further now than I could when I started out. The breaking it into story arcs, when we did that for the first time round, it was simply a way of allowing people to understand how structurally the story worked. It was just a series of books numbered 1 to a zillion to 9. I think people would sort of lose their way a little bit, but be able to break it down into this is the first arc, this is the second story arc, I think makes it more manageable. They're sort of bite-sized pieces that people can get hold of. They're like a, you know, I think they work quite well that way. And it allows me to talk about and think about stories, not only the separate adventures of each novel, but sort of broad stroke stories that maybe last for 3 or 4 novels, so they can be grouped together. I mean, you know, the third arc being the Geryon stories, for instance, that very much, I think, had a sense of being sort of stories being about themselves. The latest arc, even more so, starting with Blood Pact and now onto Salvation's Reach, is very much a big story broken down into 4 smaller adventures. So really, that it came about to make it more manageable, I think, and user friendly to both me and to the readers. And I think it's worked quite well.
Yeah, it's definitely come out nice too, especially that the Black Library puts them in the omnibus.
Yes.
In each of those sections, and makes it quite
absolutely
handy.
Yeah.
It's after I do my pocket read of your novels, I buy the omnibus and put it on the shelf because I've totally destroyed the paperback, the smaller paperback.
We actually haven't had to test it to destruction yet, but I think the principle will be that we will put them into omnibuses every time what we perceive as being an arc is finished. So no one will ever get half an arc. You know, each omnibus will be an arc, and that might be 3 books collected together. I suppose it could be 5 books collected together, depending on where it goes. The latest one is another 4, and that will be obviously collected in due course.
Okay. Yeah, as soon as I get an iPad, all of your works are going on that. So. let's see. My question that came up since our last interview is characters such as Milo and Sork. Are we going to see? I know the last book that I've read, we've seen a little bit of Sork with Commissar Hart.
Yeah.
Is there going to be more? Are we going to find out what happened to some of those characters? Or?
Yes. As a general principle, I will never remove a character from the storylines of Gaunt's Ghost or indeed anything else without some intention of bringing them back or answering the question as to where they've gone. So in the case of Milo, for instance, I'm not saying when, but he will return to the series. when the dramatic moment is right. And other characters, Sorek is one, McBenner is another one that gets mentioned a lot, is at the very least what has happened to them or what happened to them when they left the book will be eventually explained, possibly when you're least expecting it. So I think one thing sort of to take absolute pride in is that it will never be my intention to leave a significant character thread like that dangling forever. I might not answer it fast, but I will answer it eventually.
Because, I'm wondering what happened to Milo, and it made me sad what happened to Sorek, and I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
But I wasn't expecting it, and that's definitely through your writings that I've read. You have this, like, weird twist. You come out and tell me exactly. I mean, like, the case of, the first Eisenhorn book, I think it was. No, it was the first Gaunt's Ghost book. I mean, it wrapped right around to the end, and I was just like, I'm so stupid. How did I forget that? I was like, it was only, like, 2 days ago. Yeah.
Well, that's what it's all about. I'm glad it works that way. I mean, that's the idea. There's some sort of satisfaction from suddenly realizing that you're reading the end of a story that you thought was already over, or coming back into something that you didn't realize you were returning to, or something like that. If I can pull that off, I'm very pleased.
I was talking to a guy at work. I got him to read the Inquisition stories he wrote about Eisenhorn, mm-hmm. and we got in a big discussion about when Eisenhorn locked up the demon, basically in his basement, and said, "No one uses me," type thing. And I was just like, "Dear, this guy's got problems." Not you, Eisenhorn. Yeah, so
I think that's undeniable.
Very good reading. We got the next, the Sabbat World Anthology is something of an oddity, and that you are allowing the other writers to play in your corner of someone else's sandbox. Did this feel odd for you, for people writing in basically your space?
Yes and no. What you're getting in terms of a book there is something that I'm very happy about. Basically, to put it into context, I mentioned earlier on that I got ill last year with epilepsy, and whilst I was getting sorted out, deadlines got shifted, things got pushed back, etc., etc. Prospero Burns ran late, and also the next Gaunt ran late. As you know, I'm just working on it now, and it should have already been out by now. My apologies to all Gaunt fans for that. But when we realised that this was going to be the case, and there was really nothing we could do about it, I couldn't suddenly magic a novel up out of anywhere, we thought it would still be nice to get some Gaunt's Ghost material out there, brand new stuff for people to look at. And Black Library originally suggested the idea of doing a Gaunt's Ghost anthology, where I wrote a story and other people came in and wrote about, I suppose, their favourite ghost, really. That did feel a little weird. That felt a little too close to home, because I'm very, very sort of connected to these characters, and that felt a bit of a strange thing to do. So my counter suggestion was simply that we make it Sabbat Worlds, that we set different adventures in the campaign setting. I'll do Gaunt's Ghosts, and allow people basically to look back over the Gaunt books and the other Sabbat World books, Double Eagle and Titanicus, and see what bits appeal to them. So they all went away and looked. We asked some people to look at stuff. They went away, they looked, they came out with stuff they liked, came back to me. I sort of had approval process. My role as editor really was to make sure they weren't taking something in a direction that I wasn't expecting, or misinterpreting something, or I suppose more than anything else, to make sure they weren't doing something that I'd sort of laid down intending to come back to myself. And then they're at the stories, and terrific stories they are too. They're really some great ones there. Every single one of them is very different. That's the most appealing thing about them. We've got some that are set in the sort of contemporary point of the Gaunt's Ghost series. There are some that are set in the past. There are some that diverge into characters that we've subsidiary characters we've met before, different styles of combat, some completely new stuff that still is part of the Sabbat world. So I think that it's a very, very interesting book, and I'm delighted that other writers wanted to sort of sink their teeth into this with such enthusiasm.
It's definitely made a name for itself in the hobby community with at the hobby store, people want to play in different games and such, and it's created quite a cool little campaign there, that's for sure.
Yep. Well, absolutely. I'm glad about that.
Yeah, it's fun, so we'd like to say thank you.
Thank you.
My personal question is, what's coming up, if anything, for the character Malice Darkblade?
Malice is returning to your pages very, very soon indeed. The series that I started playing, I'm sure you know, was originally a comic strip that I wrote for the Warhammer Monthly comic, and it ran quite a long time through several sort of significant story arcs. Great fun to do. We thought it would be a very good idea. It would make an ideal basis for a novel. As you know, my workload is extremely tight and I'm very, very busy. So we drafted in the wonderful Mike Lee, who's just a terrific guy, a very talented writer, a really, really nice guy. I get on very, very well with him. And he sort of came on board to help shoulder the burden and to make sense of some of the stuff I'd done in the comic strip form and really basically add a whole dimension to it that would make it take it from material that was, you know, great for a comic because a comic needs to do certain things, but sort of transmute that into something that was great for a novel because a novel needs to do all sorts of other different things on a different level. And that's what we did for the first arc, which is now available, I think, in two omnibuses. Mike's done some brilliant stuff there, really fleshed stuff out. And he is just now getting his teeth into the next bit, the next run of stories, run of novels. So there will be some brand new Darkblade stuff very soon, coming your way.
Excellent. I just finished up recently his Nagash novels. And,
oh, they're great. Really good.
Oh, my favorite character in fantasy, too. Bring Nagash back. You need to tell somebody, Dan, please.
I'll pass it on.
Okay. Exactly, when you were working with Grant McNeil on Thousand Suns, Prosper Burns, how was the collaboration between you two? And, you know, obviously you were working at the same time. Same. Also, we're probably expecting a book series that probably meld together really well.
We've worked. I mean, all of the people who write the Horus Heresy books work fairly closely. We meet regularly. We discuss ideas. We look at each other's work. We sort of make suggestions and nips and tucks and stuff like that, which is a very, very healthy, organic way of doing it, and can be great because quite often there's something very liberating about it, I suppose. Instead of sort of coming up to an editorial meeting and sitting down and with the ideas that you yourself want to do, quite often at the Horus Heresy meetings we'll sit down and we'll discuss. Throw ideas around, and it might be a great idea that comes from Jim or from me or from Aaron or whatever, but it doesn't necessarily mean that person is going to write it. They get put into the pot, and the next person in the place of the with it gets to write it, which is very, very nice.
Excuse me. Let's see, what do we got next? With working with the Black Library, I know a lot of people have thought exactly, you know, there's a lot of great works out there. You, Graham McNeil, I mean, all the authors that do stories for 40K or fantasy. And a big conversation around the web and different blogs is what constitutes as canon? And let's just focus on the heresy right now. Is that actually canon, or is that just a good read that we should just take lightly and not really... you know, a lot of people like to tailor their own Space Marine chapters and such to mark around free heresy and stuff. And it gets disheartening, I guess, if you sit there and you create your own fan work for it and find out, oh, it's not really canon. This the stuff I'm working on is not really canon, and I can't, you know, branch off of that. And it kind of feels foolish. I mean, so I don't know.
It's not foolish at all. I mean, when we're writing the Heresy, and indeed any other 40K fiction, it is, to a great extent, canon. I mean, the intention is that we're creating something that is officially approved. With the Heresy, that's true of 40K and Warhammer as well. Every now and then we might make a mistake, but these sort of things happen. With the Heresy particularly, we are very closely policed by Games Workshop as to what we do and what we say and what we write. We get wonderful, wonderful first-hand advice from Alan Merritt, particularly, who knows stuff better than anybody. He sits in on our meetings, he can answer questions, he feeds us stuff we can use, he tells us when we can't do certain things. In his opinion, and in Games Workshop's opinion, what we're doing is a canonical account of the Horus Heresy, which is a great thing to do. So, yes, it is official. It is an official history. We're trying to take all the different and often contradictory bits of the material that has been written up so far and make sense of it and add to it and flesh it out. With it, and you have fun with it, and it's meant to have your imagination connected to it. So whatever is canonical in your own game version of the game universe, and whatever is canonical in your class or whatever that's okay. It, whatever, that, you know, just because we're doing this to sort of present an official line, but if it doesn't agree with you, it doesn't mean that your stuff isn't worthwhile. That's the whole point of a hobby like this, where you're designing your own armies and developing your own take on the universe, is that is completely legitimate. I often, people ask me how to pronounce the names of characters in my novels, and I say, well, the correct pronunciation is however you say them, because by the time it gets into your hands, it's your book. By the time you've got an army on the table, it's your army. It's your Warhammer 40K. One of the great models that Alan...
Well, that's about it that recorded. Kind of a sad day. I think it was something to do with if you hear some pounding and some weird crap outside in the background. They were doing some road construction for the last freaking 20 years on my road, and it's just like right outside. So that's what I got so far. If anyone's got a chance to actually talk to Dan Abnett in person, he is a great individual to speak to, very informative, and very very warm. He's not going to, at least all the times I've talked to him, he hasn't shooed me away, or he's been very inviting and everything. So he's a great person and a great author for Black Library. And he does some just fantastic work. Now, there were some questions I asked that he didn't record. One was, someone wrote, who are better, ninjas or pirates? And he says, definitely pirates. Loves pirates, loves to dress, loves the swashbuckling, and loves being out in the open sea. So there's your answer for that. I asked him about the upcoming Space Marine movie. He's told me a little bit about it. Not much. He directed me to the site, and you can link to the site off of my site. And I'm actually going to put back the YouTube Dan Abnett interview that they put out about the Space Marine movie. He is for blaming. He is the one to blame to actually to the fact that he picked the Ultramarines. That's why we have Ultramarines movie. So all other chapters out there except Ultramarines, who are wondering why wasn't it Blood Angels or Imperial Fist or Space Wolves, why Ultramarines? And he's basically saying they're the most standard Space Marine. They founded everything. I don't know. But it was his choice, and it's going to be a great movie nevertheless. I believe it's coming straight to DVD. I was hoping to see it in... on the big screen, but I have a big screen at my work, and I'm going to play it on there and watch it on that one. I asked him if he could place himself as a type of character from 40K, who or what will he be? And very modestly, he said the Emperor. And he's just like, no. And I was just like, well, you know, we could keep you alive and feed you psychers and stuff like that. But he stated that probably he would pick a member of Inquisition, probably most likely Inquisitor. I asked him if any advice to listeners who may be interested in writing fiction, how do you start and who do you push to speak of? His big chunk of advice on that one is just keep writing. If you don't write, you don't practice, and if you don't practice, you're not going to get any better, and you can't create your ideas and such and such. So any inspiring authors out there that wish to write stuff, just keep practicing. And you know, he's mentioned that Black Library does this whole competition thing to get your books put into certain types of short fiction novels and stuff, and he's basically said about that. And that'll conclude all the questions I had for this interview. Remember, if you want to hear some of your questions on the next interview I do with Graham McNeil, go ahead and give me an email, seanhammer9@yahoo.com. Also, if you got any ideas, shows, or show ideas or comments about the show, go ahead and contact me at the same email. Make sure you check out our sponsors, Cool City Games, Avatars War, and also War Gamma. I have links to those on the side of the site. I'm also going to have a Dan Abnett's link as well. Go ahead and check out his site. He loves getting blogs and such. And, that'll lead us to the end of this episode. Remember, I fail at Skype, and I am a Xenos trading whore. So anyway, I'll leave the show in on somebody you might find fascinating. And until next time, I'd like to mention as well, I am sending this Monday all the free stuff from the Sean Hammer competition, so look forward to it in the mail. Please enjoy, and if you would, I would love if you could send me a picture of yourself with the prize support and give me your best fanatic face. All right, see you soon.
I'm Dan Abnett, and remember, fanatics, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.
Successfully erased.